And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Poet of our generation, that means he still is. Welcome to the show. Now, if you think I'm going to talk about Juanita Broderick, I'd rather lose my power of speech. If you think that I'm going to go into the gutter and talk about Bill Clinton's peccadillos at this stage of my career, at this late stage of America's demise, you think I'm going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadillos, I'd rather lose my power of speech. I'm not going to do it. If that's all you want to do, man, you've got a lot of places to go for that one. I'm not doing a flashback to 1996. There are too many problems in this country for me to waste my time on that trash, let me tell you. Now, yesterday we did a great show. I said in this post-legal age, which crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution be legalized? Should drugs be legalized? I'd like to hear one of the damn candidates talk about America and its social problems or our international wreckage of Hillary Clinton instead of what her stupid husband did in 96. Oh, no, but I have to hear Juanita Broderick did this, that one said that, the dress was blue, the dress was purple. If the American people are that stupid, then you don't deserve a president. You deserve a dictator. Yeah, there, I got that out of my system. Now, I want to talk about a number of other things. Your president, I think he's still in Asia. Is he still in Hiroshima, still doing a mock apology? Yeah, well, and he was just going there, he apologized. First president in history to do this, first president in history to do that. What'd you expect when he was selected? By the powers that selected the Pope and selected Mayor de Blasio. Expected some honesty? You know what I want to talk about today? The strange birth of New York City's gun laws. Do you know that? Yeah, I'm going to talk about the gun laws of New York City, because when I was a kid, there was a Sullivan Law. And if you were caught with a gun, you went to prison. Do you know that the Sullivan Law is still on the books? But what you don't know is that Sullivan was a gangster, a crooked Tammany Hall crook. A Tammany Hall crooked politician named Big Tim Sullivan, exactly like Big Tim de Blasio. The same type, in my opinion. Then you had Tammany Hall, today you have de Blasio Hall. An overseer of everything wrong with politics today. But that gangster, Big Tim Sullivan, passed the Sullivan Act, which mandated police-issued licenses for handguns, and made it a felony to carry an unlicensed concealed weapon. It was in place when I lived in New York as a kid. Everyone was afraid of that law. And you know if that law is still on the books? What you don't know is that ordinary citizens were disarmed by this gangster, Big Tim Sullivan. You think the Sullivan Law was passed by an honest cop? It was passed by a criminal cop. Gang violence did not drop under the Sullivan Act. It actually took off after the passage of Prohibition in 1920 because the average citizen couldn't protect himself. Good, that topic's finished. Don't call me on it. No gun nuts. I just covered the gun story. I'll tell you what I really want to talk about today, which I'm going to really talk about today on the Savage Nation. That is, yesterday I told you, I wasted my time. I went on a Larry King show. He's on an unknown network. No one watches it. But I happened to went on there once for a book thing. I liked Larry. At least I thought I did. So I was supposed to be on his show last week, and I canceled because I didn't feel like doing it, and I didn't feel up to it, and I was under the weather, that's all. So he called me, said, please come on a show. I said, okay. So I went. I said, well, we're going to talk only about Teddy and Me, my dog book. Oh, yeah. Well, I went on the show yesterday via Skype. Me in San Francisco and him in wherever he is, Glendale. 25 straight minutes of hammering me about Trump. About 4 minutes of the 25 were about the book Teddy and Me. But I'm a good counterpuncher, and the old garlic eater couldn't get to me. And you're going to listen to some of it, because I'm going to ask you, how do you think I handled myself in this interview? And do you think Larry King set me up? And while you're at it, I have been nominated to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. One of four individuals. We're going to have a press release up about that shortly. You're going to be able to vote for me come June 20th simply by texting a certain number. And I hope you spend all of your time with your whole social network voting for me. I'm not one of those people in radio says, oh, I don't really care. I really don't care if I get that stupid award. I don't really want it. And then when they win it, I'm not even going to the awards ceremony. I don't need it. I'm so great. I don't need any awards. Well, I want the award, so I'm gonna lobby for it, since I have no support in the media. I may as well lobby for myself, because if I am not for myself, who will be you? Now, you want to talk about sex scandals. Cosby is Bill Clinton. NBC labels Bill's sex scandals another low. They are, by the way, another low. NBC labels Bill's sex scandals at another low. It is another low. I said it last week and you attacked me. And I'll say it again. It's disgusting. What happened to the wall? What happened to the trade deficit with China? Suddenly went away. Now we're up to Bill Clinton's peccadillos again. This is stupid. And if you think I'm inconsistent, you're wrong. I'm very consistent. Because when Bill Clinton was first accused of these crimes, which he obviously committed, I was on the radio. I wouldn't talk about it. I said, I don't care about what he's doing. This is a cover-up for what he's really doing. And now it's another cover-up for what the real Clinton scandals are. Do you get it? The real Clinton scandals are not what Bill did 10 years ago, before the heart attack. The real scandals are what she is doing now. That's what we should be talking about. The Middle East, the Arab Spring, the email scandals, amongst others. Those are the scandals. The phone number here is 855-407-282. I am not asking you to call. If you wish to call, you can. I don't know what you would be calling about yet, because I'm only getting warmed up now. Here's a little more news for you on the Savage Nation. Obama signs a bill. Oh, that was yesterday, Friday. Banning the government use of the word Negro and Oriental. President Barry Obama signed a bill into law Friday banning the federal government from using the terms Negro and Oriental, making the official terms African American and Asian American. The measure, H.R. 4238, was an amendment to the Local Public Works Capital Development and Investment Act. In other words, if they wanted the grease, in other words, if they wanted the money to fill the potholes, all the graft, you cannot believe what kind of money is going to be in the highway bill. I suggest you watch The Godfather. So in other words, if you wanted the money in your neighborhood to fill potholes and to grease the palms, you had to agree not to use the words Negro and Oriental. That's how they do it. Now, I don't have any comments on this. American Indians will now be referred to as Native Americans. A Spanish-speaking individual of Spanish descent will be referred to as Hispanic. Get your list out. Write it down. Under Obama, you need a new lexicon. I haven't used the word Oriental ever in my entire life, by the way. I always use the word Asian. Now they have to lecture me on how to apply it to an individual. If I was describing a person who I met who was Chinese or Japanese or Korean, I'd say, oh, you know, that fellow, the Asian guy. If I'm talking about a Mexican, I say the Spanish guy, by the way. That's the term I use. I rarely use the term Mexican because it could be a Honduran, it could be an El Salvadoran, it could be a person from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. So I say, oh, you know, the Spanish guy, because they speak Spanish. I define it by the language, because it's more easily. You know. Now I need the government to tell me what to refer to people as. I've not used the Negro word. I mean, I'm not making a joke of it. I don't use the word. I've always said African American. What is this necessary for? Why is he doing this? Why? Hello? Last month, Washington State Senator so-called Pramila Jayapal changed something else. Last month, the Library of Congress began revising its official use of terms like illegal alien and alien on its subject headings. After a group of college maniacs, drug addicts and psychotics, and the psychos at the American Library Association, imagine who's taken over the American Library Association. Everywhere you turn, the nuts have taken over everything. Protested the agency's use of those phrases, illegal alien. Oh, God, it's getting sicker by the day. I hope it changes. Now, here's a ripe one. Here's a beautiful one. You know how much I love the homeless. You know how much sympathy I have for the homeless, don't you? Really, tremendous amount of sympathy for them. Cities watch as Portland, Oregon allows homeless to sleep on sidewalks and camp in public spaces. More psycho-liberals. Well, Portland was taken over a long time ago by psychopaths. So now they're going to let homeless bums to set up tents in the streets of Portland, Oregon. They can bunk down on city sidewalks or pitch tents on public rights of way during evening hours with the understanding they can pack up and move out by 7 a.m. As you well know, the homeless people are very organized people. They're very punctual people. They have a way with making sure that they remember things. So you know they're setting their alarm clocks in those tents in the streets after snorting crack all night and laying in their own fecal matter. That alarm clock's going to go off at 6:55 so they could pack up their tent and clean up their refuse. Yeah, sure. This is called the degeneration of the United States of America, but they gave it a name. It's called the Safe Sleep Policy, in which individuals or groups can pick secure lighted areas to lay down sleeping bags and tarps in the streets of Portland, Oregon. Wait, it gets even better. Tents are also allowed under Mayor Hale's policies. Okay, my friends, it's getting worse by the second. As Psycho Barry continues his world apology tour, I continue my tour of reality right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. The morons are already hitting me already. The morons think I'm attacking Donald Trump. The people are stupider than I think. Dumb. Again, I said, I'm not going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadillos from the 90s. Anyone who does is a moron. That's all you can do in radio. You don't belong in radio. You belong in a madhouse. That's what I said. And I'll say it again. And don't think you're going to bend me around to your will and make me follow the lead of the morons and talk radio who are making that the whole show. I will not do it. I'm the one who put Trump on the map, idiots. And the others who are now licking his boots, put him down. You forgot the whole story already? Unbelievable how dumb people are. I'm starting to think people are stupider than I thought. I've overestimated my audience all these years. But you know what? I've always followed the beat of my own drum, so to speak. I'll continue to do it right now through the election. Whether you like it or not is your business. But I have to like what I'm doing, and I have to like what I hear coming out of my mouth. And if you think I'm going to indulge in rolling in the gutter, Juanita Broderick and this one and that one, I'm not doing it. Stupid! The world is burning, and that's all you want to talk about, is Bill Clinton. It's stupid, and it's embarrassing. Yes, I support Donald Trump. I have Donald Trump ice cubes. I have a Donald Trump tie. I have a Donald Trump hat. I ordered the Donald Trump belt. I'm looking to get Donald Trump sneakers. I have Donald Trump bobbleheads in every room. I've ordered special bronzes made of Donald Trump to put in it on every counter in my house. Yes, don't worry about it, okay? 855-407-282. Now, let me go to the important stuff. So I'm going to play this for you now, and I'm going to ask you, do you think Larry King set me up? How did I handle myself? Let's start it right now on the Savage Nation.
He's an outspoken icon in the conservative movement, host of one of the top-rated radio talk shows in America, heard weekdays in syndication. He's Michael Savage of the Savage Nation. He's out with a new book, Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human, which tells about his years-long relationship with his purebred poodle, Teddy. Michael joins me via Skype, and we'll get to the book in a little while. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Larry.
What do you make of the United States lifting the ban on the sales of military weapons to Vietnam?
It looks like a chess move to sort of send a message to China. I think what the geniuses in the Obama sorority are trying to figure out is how to use factotums to sort of prod China away from their warlike status right now. In other words, I've said for years, Larry, that China's used North Korea as their junkyard dog. They don't bark in North Korea unless China tells them to, and they scare us every once in a while with a missile test. We don't really have Asian nations that we can use to scare China. And I think sending weapons to Vietnam is about that. That's my guess.
But Vietnam has never had a love affair with China, ever.
No, because the Chinese conquered or tried to conquer Vietnam. And, of course, then the French, then the Americans, and we know how that ended.
A piece in Salon.com last month described you as the ideological godfather of Trumpism, the man who blew up the Republican Party's establishment hold on its working class base. What attracts you to the Donald?
Well, it's not that he personally is that attractive. It's that his message is extremely attractive. And that I suspected right from the beginning, I had Donald on my show going back to 2011, before anyone took him seriously, before he even announced his candidacy.
Oh, I used to have him on since 1980.
Well, of course, you've been around longer than me.
I would figure you'd top me on that one. But the thing, is, Larry, I felt that with his moderate nationalist message, my message has been borders, language, culture since I started in radio, I didn't see a candidate who was really going to push that forward. He seemed to be doing that. And I'll be frank with you. Many of his talking points for at least a year leading up to the announcement were coming out of my books, such as Stop the Coming Civil War and then Government Zero. So I know his staff was reading generally in the conservative movement. My books were selling very well. You would think they would look at the writings of people who had brains on the right side of the spectrum, if you want to put us there. I wouldn't even put myself there, by the way, but that's okay. Wherever they want to put me is fine. I would call myself pro-American rather than right or left, but let someone else define me. So what attracts me to him, I felt, A, he's a good salesman. B, he's got tremendous good unions, pardon me, that's Brooklyn for guts. And I felt that someone needed to stop this movement towards a dissolution of our borders, the bastardization of our language, and the absolute total decimation of our culture. Somebody had to stand up for America, which I love. I'm an immigrant son, Larry. And believe me, when my grandfather came here, he kissed the earth. And he told me one thing. He said, learn English and become an American. He was right. That's what I'm trying to say in all of my work.
But he says, make America, and he's a good friend, and I like the Donald personally. He says, make America great again. First, great, were we great when we had slaves? When we were great when women couldn't vote? When we were great during the Great Depression? I think we're pretty great now. What do you mean?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, you want politics? Here's politics. Harry Reid, you know, Nevada. Harry Reid, you know, the man whose exercise machine attacked him. Harry Reid vows to stop Hillary Clinton from picking certain running mates. In other words, if she picks a running mate who's too whatever, and they lose the Senate, he's going to fight her. He said it. He said, I'll do whatever I can to stop her from choosing a Democratic senator from a state led by a Republican governor. Whatever that means. He's lobbying for somebody. God knows who. So Boss Tweed, Harry Reid, is now trying to dictate to Hillary Clinton who she picks as a running mate. Does that matter to you? No, it doesn't matter to me. But it's the headline on Fox News. I figured you want to hear it for all of you news fanatics out there. Now I want to go back to something that's far more important to me, which is my appearance on the Larry King Show, which nobody watches because it's on a channel no one ever heard of. So why am I playing it? Because it's a very good debate, which is missing in talk radio. There are no debates. It's stupid. Debate, 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 and you get at the truth. So King set me up. He said, I want you on to talk about Teddy and me. 20 straight minutes now, him trying to make me become an apologist of everything that Trump said or did, even things he didn't say and do. I want you to listen very carefully so you know who I really am. Let's go back to the key question he asked when we broke off on the Savage Nation.
He says, make America great again. First, great, were we great when we had slaves? When we were great when women couldn't vote? When we were great during the Great Depression? I think we're pretty great now. What do you mean great again?
Well, of course.
What do you mean great again?
That's the standard liberal line.
Because it happens to be true.
No. That's an argument called reducto ad absurdum. You know very well because you've been in the business long enough. In other words, you take the most absurd opposition point of view and you make it sound as though he wants to bring us back.
You call slavery absurd?
It's back to slavery. Come on, Larry. That's a standard.
All right. Was the Depression absurd?
We're not in the Depression.
Is the Vietnam War absurd?
We're not in the Vietnam War. Obama is the most power-mad president in American history. He has decimated virtually every decent institution in this country, from the military to the schools. That's what he means by make America great again. We're not talking about slavery or the Vietnam War or women not voting.
All right, do you think the military is depleted in America?
Are you kidding me?
Show me the proof.
Larry, we have the smallest standing army since World War II.
Larger than the 10 big nations next to us combined.
Larry, we have the smallest navy since World War I.
Larger than the 10 nations behind us combined.
Yes, and why is China building their navy?
We're going to go to war with China.
Why is China building their navy? Why is China constantly exerting their muscular strength? This is not a time to retreat from the world stage. It's a time to stand up strong on the world stage, and he's gone the other way. The only people he seems to aggress against, your president, not mine, is the American opposition. The conservative movement, anyone who says one word against them are his political enemies. On the world stage, he's a wimp. Talk law, you know, the old statement from Theodore Roosevelt, speaks quietly, carry a big stick and talk quietly or something like that. This guy has the opposite, which is speak loudly and carry no stick.
He deported more immigrants than the last three presidents combined. He's hit more drones.
That's because he's brought more in than the last five presidents.
He didn't bring them in. They came in.
Why did they come in? Because he dissolved the Border Patrol. Larry, you're a human being living in the country. Why do we need people on welfare? Tell me how that benefits.
I was on welfare, and I don't like it. I had it. I know why it's necessary. New York City bought my first pair of glasses. I'm not going to knock welfare people.
But how many people can we support on welfare?
Anything that's necessary, because we're a great country.
Where's the money coming from? We're bankrupt.
Yeah, we're so bankrupt. How come I see people going along? I tell you what.
Larry, listen to me. The average person's not you or me. There are two economies in this country, if not more. Los Angeles is not the heartland, which has been hollowed out. Going back to the Clintons with NAFTA, if you want to get very specific, when they exported whole factories, let alone jobs.
Right. Let's take some individual things about Trump. Again, to raise money is terrible from people. You should not raise money because then you owe things to them. And now he's raising money. Explain.
I'm not working for him. Let him explain.
Oh, no. Now you don't want to defend him.
I'm not here to defend him. You didn't listen to me at the beginning. I said
okay. Does that bug you that he now raises money?
You're not hearing me. I said I chose to back Trump in the beginning because of all the candidates on the conservative or Republican side, he was the only one expressing my philosophy of borders, language, and culture. As to raising money, things like that, you'll have to take it up with his staff, not me. I don't work for him.
But if you plan to vote for him, doesn't that give you some cause for concern?
No, not at all.
Not releasing income taxes.
No, until Bill Clinton releases where the money came from in the Clinton Library and Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Library. I'd like to see the emails and the damage it's done to our intelligence services. I'd like to see things like that more than Donald Trump's income tax return.
Well, all the presidential candidates release their income tax returns. Does it bother you at all he doesn't?
Not really. I care about his income? What does it matter to me?
Okay. He talks about Bill Clinton's infidelities. Did he ever have any?
Actually, on my show last week, I said I could care less about Bill Clinton's peccadillos. They never interested me in the 90s when I was on radio. I felt he was a dirtbag then. I think he's a dirtbag now. And frankly, it's the worst possible approach to taking down Hillary. She's as dirty as they come, and it's not about Bill Clinton's peccadillos. I've said that, and I stand by that. I could care less what that dirtbag does.
If he's a dirtbag, do you think he was a bad president?
Well, you're looking backwards from this point.
Well, that's the only way to look at his
record.
Compared
to Obama, he was a great president.
Was he a great president?
No, absolutely not.
Who was a great president?
In my opinion, going back in my lifetime, I liked Ike. I love Dwight D. Eisenhower, a real war hero, a true American.
I like Roosevelt.
Well, I wasn't around. I was a little baby.
Well, I was young, but I appreciate I could read the history books. You think Trump's going to win the election?
By a landslide.
He's going to win New York, California?
I can't say where or how. I know that in
the
general...
Well, you can't say where or how... How can you predict a landslide if you can't say where or how?
Well, let me tell you what I have to say. Because before Nevada, I said that he's far more popular amongst Hispanics than anyone is predicting in the liberal, psycho, East Coast elitist media. They all said that the Hispanics hated him. I said the opposite. I'm a man of the street. Hispanic men don't like women dictating to them. They don't like women running their lives. They're macho men. They'd rather have a strong man who's a rich man. And you know why, Larry? I walk every day. I watch houses being built. I talk to the Hispanic workers in Spanish, by the way. You know what they want in America? What I have. They want a house, a white picket fence. They want a little family to grow up and go to safe schools. And they feel that a rich man like Trump will be better for them than a socialist internationalist like Hillary. They know what that's like
in
countries like that.
Why did they vote so much for Obama over Mitt Romney, a rich man?
Romney was a schmendrick.
Now hold it. Why did Hispanics vote 85% for Obama over a rich man? You tell me they like rich men.
Well, I didn't say all rich men. I said a rich man like Trump, if you heard my words. Trump is a macho alpha male. Romney was not a macho alpha male. Romney was a feminized beta male.
I tell you, Michael, I love you. Want to make a bet on the Hispanic vote?
I'm not saying it's going to be 80% for Trump.
Oh, no, you said Trump is going to win the Hispanic vote. You want to bet on that?
Larry, you're not listening to the...
Really. I'm trying.
Before Nevada, everyone said he gets slaughtered in the Hispanic vote. He shocked everyone. The Hispanic vote was quite prominently higher for Trump than everyone predicted. And the African-American vote is not necessarily in the pocket of Hillary Clinton. They don't like her, Bernie. Not everyone likes Hillary Clinton. You know that.
I'll say, you want to bet me on the Hispanic and the black vote, Trump versus Clinton?
No, I'll talk with you about the white vote. How's that?
Oh, but they're the minority.
That's what I'm saying. I'm interested in the white minority in America.
I love Michael Savage. I'll try to figure him out.
Savage.
All right, there's more to come. I'm listening to it for the first time. I was set up, but all right, look. He uses garlic. I use vitamin C. I won, in my estimation. You don't have to destroy somebody to beat them in a debate, by the way. It's not all or nothing. Do you understand that? Remember that next time you're debating somebody, you don't have to go for their throat and tear their liver out. In order to beat someone, you don't have to destroy them. I think I did a very fine job. Susan on WABC, I'm sorry, line 9, what do you think? How did I do?
I agree with you completely. I think given the ineptitude of Larry, I think you are marvelous. I think that you handled yourself with a kind of grace, and you understood that you had the capacity to really decimate him, but you wouldn't do that. I mean, you answered his questions. I can imagine that you felt a real level of frustration that he gave such short shrift to what he originally intended with you, but you realized, well, these things happen, and you went along with it. But I was extremely impressed. I think you can be only proud of the way you handled yourself. I saw absolutely nothing negative. I think he really tried to do a number of you on you, but he wasn't able to do it.
Nicely put from a woman from New York. You see that? You're getting a free copy of Teddy and Me, Susan, for calling from WABC. I appreciate it. WFTL in Florida, the land of the hanging Chad. Line number 6. Welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind from FTL, Martin?
Do you ever watch Game of Thrones?
Nah, I wasn't into it. Oh. I didn't care for the dwarf. What does that have to do with this?
They called swordplay dancing in one episode. I thought you danced him very well.
Well, that's because he's from Brooklyn and I'm from the Bronx. I mean, they have no chance with me. The air in Brooklyn is so toxic. It still is, by the way, compared. The Bronx gets the New York State air coming in from the upper part of the state, comes over the Croton Reservoir, gets cleansed. In Brooklyn, it's like Canarsie garbage, so it affects their minds. I'm sorry. Some good people came out of Brooklyn, but apparently all the bagels in the world and all the palm trees couldn't help them. Look, the fact is I liked Larry King the first time I went. I always admired this guy, and I admire him now. Why? He's 80-something-odd years old. He's still fighting. You know, they took him off CNN, not because they should have, but because it's run by idiots. The man is an icon. Wherever you go with him, they know who he is, I guess. Fine, I don't like his politics, but from his generation, from his place, from his world, everybody was left of center. But they don't really know the facts, Martin. They don't really know the facts. You could hear it in the way he was presenting them to me. And by the way, during every break, he looked down on a page. Somebody was presenting answers for him and telling him what to do, in my opinion. So I went on to talk about the dog book. I said, you know what, to myself when I went in there, I said, be prepared to be set up, by the way, because you know the media. They're all the way they are. And I had to do what I had to do. I got news for you. I went in there expecting to have a pleasant time. But like in any other situation in life, you better prepare for the opposite, too. You know, Martin, have you gone into business meetings where you think it's going to be friendly and it isn't? It's hostile?
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, that's what you have to do in life. Go in with a friendly attitude, but be prepared for a street fight. Martin, you get a copy of Teddy and Me for Father's Day, okay? 855-407-282. WABC, Chris, line number 4. You're up. What's on your mind, my friend?
All right, Mike, you had a Bronx boy and a Brooklyn boy, and I guess he was just trying to milk the best talk show host and the biggest political candidate in America today by throwing those questions at you. But he couldn't really deal with your answers. Your answers were very quick, and they were on the money. And what you should have told him, that Trump is going to announce that Trump is going to build a man-made lake in the South Bronx and just have some fun there, kid. And you are going to be the winner of the Hall of Fame.
I hope so. With your help, when the time comes, we announce it. People go and text my name, and we'll see. Chris, everyone's getting a free copy of Teddy and Me today. Look, let me go back for a minute, if you don't mind, on the show. A little bit, just a tiny little bit. I'm in a ruthless business. The media is probably the most ruthless business in the world. Everyone hates everyone else. There are no allies. No one has anything good to say about anyone else, whether it's in talk radio or the media. It's sharks feeding against each other. And if you're not careful, they'll tear your fins off. I have navigated the bloody waters for 22 years. I will be here after my enemies are gone, I can guarantee you. Everyone who has stood in my way is gone from radio. Everyone who tried to throw an impediment at me is gone from radio. Everyone who predicted I would be off the air is gone from radio. I promise you, I'm not going to leave you. One way or the other, no matter what they do to me, I will be on the air because you know what? Somebody up there likes me. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. All right, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Remember, talk radio is fundamentally news talk. We're talking about the news. Fine. However, I can't sit here and say Trump Clinton for 3 hours a day until the election. I'm not going to do it. If your brain is only capable of that, you know where to turn to hear Trump and Clinton mentioned 3 hours a day. You're not going to hear it from me. When it's important, you'll hear it. But frankly, I'm playing the Larry King interview that I did yesterday for one reason. I went to talk about my book, Teddy and Me, and he set me up and talked only about Trump trying to attack Trump. There's your news story. You want a news story for the media? Larry King tries to attack Michael Savage about Donald Trump and loses. That's your news story, but you're not going to read it anywhere. I'm unknown in the media. I'm a man alone. No publicity, no support, no friends, except you, the audience. So therefore, it's a news story. It's a media news story. When someone tries to entrap you and they can't entrap you, that's a news story in the media. I think it's a fabulous news story, and I'll let you be the judge. But let me explain something. I realize the context in a way. I watch RT television, Russian television. I watch it for the news. Now, of course, there are a lot of leased programs on there, and a lot of the news is slanted only from the point of view of Russia, obviously, like our news is slanted towards Obama. It's all propaganda around the clock, basically. But there are other operators who lease time on RT who are independent. I see Czech news. I see German news. It's fascinating for me to listen to literacy. After looking at the shoes shaking on Fox News and the leg show and the softcore pornography of Rupert Murdoch, I find it refreshing to listen to someone using a brain. Okay, I can't take the shoe shaking anymore on Fox News. All she does is lift the shoe up like I never saw a leg before. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that, a woman with a shoe, how exciting. I think I'll sit there like a moron with my tongue hanging out because one of Rupert Murdoch's burlesque stars is shaking a foot. If that works, God bless you. I don't care. So I turn on RT and listen to some intellectual discussions. Now, Larry wanted to hang Trump's neck using me. He didn't win.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm talking with Dr. Michael Savage, host of The Savage Nation and a New York Times best-selling author. And his latest book, I have it right here. is Teddy and Me.
Confessions
of a Service Human. Michael is joining me via Skype, and we are now joined by Teddy. Ah.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. As I said in the last hour, this is news in the sense that it is a media story and a big one, because I went on there to promote Teddy and Me. I asked specifically, because I wouldn't have done it otherwise. I don't really have the time nor the inclination to be on television. The radio's enough for me. And right off the bat, he was trying to make me an apologist for everything Trump does. I didn't take the bait for a couple of reasons. One, because I'm not an apologist for Trump. I said right off the bat, I like Trump's policies, at least the original ones. I don't know the man personally. I met him for 3 minutes over a salad once in Florida. So now they're turning me all of a sudden into the spokesman for Donald Trump. What he wanted to do was, for an international audience, he wanted them to see him take me down and take Trump down at the same time. That's what his producers had in mind. And the thing is I don't dislike Larry King as a person. I kind of like the old guy. I think he's great at his age, still fighting. I love that. I like he came up from nothing like I did. So I didn't have to go for his jugular vein in order to refute his statements. And if you heard the first couple of pieces, you will hear that. It's a political story. In the sound bites that follow, we talk about the dog book, and I'd like you to hear this on the Savage Nation. It's important.
How old is Teddy?
He's 12. He's a senior citizen. His hair turned gray.
Did you have him from birth?
Yeah. He was a black-haired poodle when I got him. He was on stage with me when I first got him, when I was still doing live appearances. And he's aged along with me. Our hair is now the same color. We've also had our teeth removed about the same time.
Why did you name him Teddy?
He looked like a teddy bear.
Okay, tell me the roots of all this. How did this dog come into your life? You've owned a lot of dogs. What's special about Teddy?
Oh, I've owned every kind of dog imaginable. I fell in love with this little fella because he's smarter than all of them. He's aloof, like a woman would be. Don't take Teddy for granted. Poodles are very weird. They will pout if you diss them in any way for days. They'll sit on the other side of the room. They're very close to us emotionally, but that's not the real reason. This guy has sat at my feet as I've done radio shows since he's been a boy, a little baby. I think he has a higher IQ than most college professors at Harvard, politically, from what he's listened to over the last 15 years. Larry, 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week, this dog knows everything. He's a part of my life. You know, I don't know. Are you a pet owner, Larry?
Yes. Yeah, I love dogs.
I wouldn't think you'd have me on just to talk about Trump. I think you're really more interested in the dog.
I love dogs.
Well, we all know what they are. They've been with mankind since the cave. You know how they're protective? In bed, they're by the door. Intuition, you know, instinct. You go to the bathroom, they're in the bathroom. You take a shower, they're outside the shower. Wherever you are, they are. And the beauty of it is that they die before we do. And as a little child, I asked cryingly, why did God make it so that our dogs or our cats die before we do? And a wise woman said, God set it up that way so they're not left alone. Because if we die before them, nobody would take care of them. And that's how we explain to children why.
And they also don't know they're going to die.
Well, maybe toward the end they may, do you think?
No, they're going to die. I don't think they can rationalize that. Why do you call them Confessions of a Service Human? What do you mean?
Because he's turned me into a service human. I mean, we know dogs in restaurants today in California all have service tags. Everything's a monkey, a zebra, right. A pig. It's a service animal. All right. But we, when we take care of our dogs, to the extent that we do, I'm cutting chicken for them. I'm cutting carrots. I'm taking them to a doctor. I'm taking them to a dentist. I'm taking them for a walk. Teddy this, Teddy that. It's like I'm a service human. I don't know who's working for who. But as Steinbeck wrote, and I think it was Steinbeck who wrote, that in the next world, wherever that may be, they are the humans and we are their pets. And how we treated them on this plane is how they treat us on that plane. So I'm kind of hedging my bet, Larry.
Why did you decide to write a book about a dog?
You know, it's a great question. In the midst of this hyper-political season, my last best-selling book was Government Zero, which is still selling very well, by the way. And I'll have another political book out just before the election. Because we need a break. We need a break from it. There's going to be life after the election. And the fundamentals that we've all had are going to still be here. Family, pets, food, the sun, a walk, lovemaking, whatever it may be, Larry. And pets will be with us for a long time, I hope. I hope we don't become a civilization that says that we can't afford to take care of them, as China once did, where they slaughtered their pets. You know that during the Cultural Revolution.
In the first chapter, you say you can judge people by how they treat their dogs. Based on what?
Watch them in the street. I've seen people look real nice to their animals when people are around. And then when they turn a corner, I've seen them yell at a dog, intimidate a dog, things like that. And you could see the dual nature of some people. I mean, people are like that. They take out a lot of their hostility on their poor little defenseless creatures.
Michael, you're right that I don't feel I'm inspiring people in the way I want to inspire them. How are you inspiring them if it's not the way you want to inspire them? How are you going to change? Do you think you're failing?
No, I don't think I'm inspiring people. We're living in a very cynical age with a power-mad president. Everyone's freaked out on all sides of the aisle. Look what's going on with Hillary Clinton. She is detested by most liberals. They like Bernie Sanders, who was an outright New York street communist from the 1930s. Nothing about what he says is any different than what's going on in South America with this one salami hanging in a butcher store. That's the sum total of what will happen in this country if that maniac becomes president. So where's the inspiration? People are desperate. They're looking for something to look to, so maybe we find it in our pets. That's what I'm saying.
You call Sanders a maniac?
Are you kidding me? He is professing, you know and I know, what he is professing cannot be enacted without decimating our society. Take a look at South America, Larry. Look at Venezuela. This was a socialist nation. Look what it is today. They're fighting over a loaf of bread in the supermarkets. It happened before. Remember what Margaret Thatcher said? Socialism is a wonderful system until you run out of other people's money. Sanders knows that. He's a very clever boy from New York. He's espousing hatred for people with something. He's appeasing the masses. It's been done before. He's a demagogue, but he doesn't look it because he's an old Jewish guy and he looks innocent, like Grandfather Bernie. But this kind of rhetoric has been tried before. I've listened to Sympathy for the Devil by the Rolling Stones, and I see it every time he opens his mouth.
Well, Norman Thomas was the socialist candidate in 1932.
Before my time.
He had 20 planks in his platform. 19 are now law.
Right. That's how bad this country has become, and Donald Trump will make America less socialist again.
This country is a bad country.
Now?
Now?
Larry, look at what's going on. Look at the crime wave in this country. And
it's down.
Oh, it is not down. It is not. You know that Obama released 20,000 felons over the last few months? You want them running around the streets? What are they going to do, get jobs? See, I would start by deporting. Larry, quickly, you say deport. That's like the most dirty word in the world, right? One-third of all of our federal prisoners are illegal aliens who didn't get thrown in jail for just coming to the country. They've committed numerous rapes, murders, whatever they have done. I would start, if you want to cut this down the middle, start by deporting the illegal aliens in our prisons. Okay, that's enough for me.
Where'd you get that figure from, one-third?
Where? It's well-known. Bureau of Justice.
You say well-known. I never heard that figure.
Larry, look it up. Bureau of Justice, percent of prisoners in federal prisons that are illegal aliens, meaning non-citizens. It's around 28, 29, 30%.
Savage.
All right, now you see how it became political again, even while we were talking about the book per se. He steered it back to politics, which is okay. I don't mind. All roads are political. Everything's political. I've said that to you before. If I talk about food or diet or drinking, whatever it is, it's political. Virtually everything that we talk about can be made political, which is why this is a great interview. I think it's fabulous listening to it again. And by the way, not one word was edited out of this. This is the raw footage. I didn't know how it was going to sound because, look, when you're in the ring and you're sparring with someone, you don't know exactly how it's going to sound. I think it sounds great. I don't think he sounds bad, and I don't think I sound bad. I think I come out on top with every question. And I'll leave it to you to judge. And I think this is a news story, and I frankly think this is very entertaining radio. Okay? When I come back on the Savage Nation, we'll play the last piece of the Larry King Michael Savage interview. And then we'll go to the news, views, and reviews, including politics, politics, politics. Right, except for one thing, I'm not talking about Clinton's peccadillos. I refuse. I'm not going there. It's that simple. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Oh.
Trump labels Vince Foster death very fishy. We're going to live through this again. Trump ad features Juanita Broderick. You know, wonderful. Does that mean I have to talk about it? Because he runs an ad, I have to jump like a marionette? I'm not going to do it. I'm glad he's running the ads, and I'm glad the average moron out there is interested in Vince Foster and Juanita Broderick. I am not interested in it. I'd rather talk about Hillary Clinton's Arab Spring. I'd rather talk about the politics that has brought him to prominence, promising to build a wall with Mexico, saying he's going to ban any Muslims from entering America. No, instead now we're talking about Bill Clinton again. I'm sorry, I'm not going there. Jeffrey on WABC, line one. Go ahead, what's on your mind, Jeffrey?
Michael, I just really appreciated the distinction you made when you were debating Larry King, and you mentioned that Hispanics love rich macho men, and he thought he had you because he said, ah, if they love rich men, why is it they didn't support Romney? And then you made a nice distinction. You said, well, there's a difference between an alpha male and a beta, if I can put a word in your mouth, effeminate male. And a man who can make distinctions, a fine mind makes distinctions, and that's why you won the debate. And I just enjoyed it, made me laugh out loud as I was driving home.
Beautiful. I'm sending you Teddy and me. You got to remember something. I didn't have a script in front of me. I went on to talk about the book. He had a script in front of him. He kept looking down for the questions and the repeat questions, and I don't know whether he had a little glass prompter. I don't know. I'm not here to embarrass him. I came up with that on the spot because I've learned to speak on my feet as a kid in the... I hate to keep saying it because people don't want to hear it anymore. I had to learn to think quickly as a kid in New York. Let me put it to you that way. You really, you know, like the quick and the dead. You ever hear that one? It's as simple as that. I was not a particularly tall kid. I wasn't particularly strong. Just to go to the bathroom in PS 48 required pretty good skills. Let's put it to you that way. I learned to use my mind in order to survive in those today, but they didn't shoot you in those days. Of course, it was a peaceful world compared to the animals of today. I mean, you went to the bathroom, the worst that happened is you get beaten up a little bit. But today, you don't even come out of the bathroom alive. You come out dead in New York today in some neighborhoods. That's how wonderful it's become. But going back to my primitive days, I had to learn to think quickly. Also, in my family, to be honest, it was a very competitive family, as were most immigrant families of that time. Eastern European people were extremely picky on each other, whether they were Italian or Jewish. They picked on each other. The father and the mother and the children, everyone was fighting with each other all day long. Don't think I'm making it up. It was not life with father. Let me put it to you that way. Ask any Italian what life was like with his father in the household, or any Jewish guy from that generation. So in other words, you were put on the spot instantly all the time of everything, a meatball. Whatever you did, you were challenged. So that makes you learn to think fast. It was a survival skill. It was a hazing. Today, the father would be arrested for hazing you to think fast. Supposed to get up and do the same thing? I'm not doing it. So I'm running it because it's a political debate, by the way, that went right to the heart of the political discussions that we're all having. I think it's good radio, don't you?
It was good radio, but I think you kind of got a little ripped off. It's like you put your book up on his desk there and said, now welcome Michael Savage. And
John, I can't hear you, Jason. Thank you. Rogaine, I think, just now, in the midst of it all, for a little energy. He got out the Rogaine. Instead of rubbing it on his head, he took a swig of it. He made a mistake. He mixed up the Rogaine with the scotch. All right, that happens with the average listener. Next caller, WMAL, Washington, D.C., from a woman. Ann, line two. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
About Teddy and your relationship with him, it just your character, the warm human side, and it was just beautiful to hear.
Thank you. You're getting a copy of Teddy and Me. Let's go to MAL again. Ronnie, line seven. Ronnie, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please, from Washington, D.C. on WMAL.
Unbelievable. First of all, I think Larry should have went down and kissed your feet for you giving him the benefit of your ratings and the people that follow you. I mean, you're like Trump, you're an alpha male, but the way you very presidential, if I may use that word, and appropriately decimated every ridiculous from the Depression, from slavery. I thought he was going to bring up the Boston Tea Party. I mean, the way you absolutely decimated him in a calm, restrained, alpha male kind of way. I'm a dog trainer, professional dog trainer. Like, no, I am.
I'm sorry, I got the joke. So in other words, that's the way you control dogs? Calmly?
Yeah, no, you have to become a leader, and some people will get a strong breed like a pit bull or a tier shepherd, or and they try, you know, they're calm and sweet, and people don't naturally, as dogs, there's always a leader, and the followers naturally fall in line.
I'm so glad you listened to me in Washington, D.C. as long as you're on the air. I'm sending you Teddy and me. I'll be back in a minute. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
We're going to get to the politics in a minute on mainly why is Hillary Clinton disliked even by liberals. It's a huge question. There's no question that she is disliked. I've had liberals tell me I wouldn't vote for her. But then they say, well, I'm not going to vote for Trump. They may vote for Trump in the booth, but they don't like her. And there's obvious reasons why. We're going to talk about that. There are other news stories that are worthy of talk, worthy of conversation. I don't know if you know that. While your president is in Vietnam, the human rights activists that he makes believe he cares about are barred from meeting with Obama in Vietnam. Vietnam is a dictatorship. Okay? He goes where the dictators are, and he overlooks the human rights abuses in plain English. That's another topic that is worth talking about. One other topic I'm going to get to is this. Warming oceans. Okay, the oceans are cyclically warming now. And while harmful to certain fish, are actually creating beneficial growing conditions for some squids, octopus, and cuttlefish. Lucky for me, I like squid. If it's good for calamari, it's good for me. That's all I could say. Now, I want to finish up the Larry King interview. It's a short piece. I think it's probably the most important. And it's touching. And I want you to hear how it ends. And you make a decision on how I handled it. Michael Savage and Larry King, the interview from yesterday, right now on the Savage Nation.
By the way, Michael, is it true that your brother was blind and deaf?
May he rest in peace. He was born that way, Larry.
How old was, what's the age difference between you and him?
Oh, he was my hero. He was 3 years younger, but we didn't know he was that way until he was about two. No one knew that he had blindness and deafness. And I did learn how to communicate with audiences and with animals through my little brother, Jerome, because he couldn't talk, he couldn't see. They said he couldn't hear, and I said, stay away from him, don't go near him. You know, they put him in a high chair in the Bronx in the little apartment. Well, my mom and dad weren't there. Dad was working, mom was doing something else. I'd sneak in the kitchen, and I'd whistle to him, and I would talk to him. Larry, I saw that he was alive inside, and then they carry, oh, go away from him. Don't, what do you mean go away from him? He loves me. So I, when they weren't looking, I would talk to him, Larry, and I learned. See, today, Larry, with all of the benefits that we have for the poor handicapped people, he wouldn't have been given away to a home where he died a horrible death in a snake pit. I don't even want to go into what was done to him. He was given away at five. It was the most greatest trauma in a family to send away a little boy. And died in the home. 20 years later, Larry, he suffered 20 years in a snake pit. In Staten Island and Poughkeepsie, New York. In those days, a snake pit. But today, he would have the ability to communicate. Yeah.
Today, why did your family treat him that way?
They didn't. The doctors in those days were stupid. And they said, give him away for the sake of the healthy children. It's not good to have a sick child around healthy children. So now think of the guilt, Larry. Think of the guilt it imposes upon the healthy children. Where's our brother? Oh, the doctor said we have to put him in a special place so he doesn't affect the healthy children. So now the rest of your life, I did that to my brother? You see what I'm saying? In other words, he was sort of the Jesus of the family in that regard. He died for my sins. And Larry, to be honest with you, I have triple energy. Part of the reason is I have all this energy like you do. I don't know where you get it from. Is because I'm living for two lives. I have two hearts beating in my chest. One is for Michael. One is for Jerry. This book is dedicated to him because that's how I learned to communicate with audiences, including great guys like Larry King on the other side of a Skype screen.
You have a great deal of sensitivity, Michael. You should show it more often.
I save it for certain people, Larry.
This book obviously is very emotional for you.
I think there's some good writing in it. You know, people think it's just a picture book, but there's 10,000 words. I began as a poet in the streets of New York, Larry. A songwriter and a poet, so there's a lot of poetry in my blood. Just because I have conservative viewpoints doesn't mean that I'm insensitive, nor that I have no art in me. I'm pretty sure that there's a bit of Beethoven in all of us.
Do you take your Teddy with you wherever you go?
I try to. I do try to. Life is not full without my little guy. He's good on an airplane. He's good on an airplane. Six hours. He can make it to Miami and back. Miami one way without peeing.
Has he had children? Has he fathered children?
No, unfortunately, he's a bachelor. He never met the right poodle. But he told me he's still looking.
What is their life expectancy?
Well, the little guys, they say, can do 15, 16, you know, I heard 26. I'm not counting on that. And I'm not going to get another dog. I discussed it last night with Mrs. Savage. We can't. We love dogs too much. I can't go through it again. You know, after a certain number of losses with animals, enough is enough at a certain point in your life. So I think that'll be it.
I had a friend, the great writer Jim Bishop, who whenever his dogs would get a little old, he'd get a baby dog of the same breed, and they would get used to each other so that when the older one died, he has a lot of comfort.
I understand. That's very, very beautiful, and I've thought about it. I can't go through that heartbreak anymore, not with him. This is it. I've had so many dogs, and each one is written about here. My best dog, craziest dog, was Bandit, who I got from a convict just released from San Quentin, who I met on a ferry in Marin County as he was getting out of, you know, when they get out of San Quentin, Larry, they give them like $200, and many of them take the Larkspur ferry to San Francisco. So this guy comes out of jail with long hair. I met him. Long story short, we became friends. I was drinking on the ferry. He took me to his house. God knows, I thought he was going to murder me on the South San Francisco near the old Candlestick Park. The nicest guy on earth. He got a litter of dogs. He gave me this dog, Bandit, the wildest dog I ever owned in my life. It was a border collie. Totally different animal. So I've had a lot of breeds of dogs. This guy is a combo of the wild and the tame and the aloof and the sweet.
Michael, I love you. Thanks so much.
Hope to see you in L.A., Larry King. You're the greatest.
You got it. The book, again, is Teddy and Me, Confessions of a Service Human. It's out now and available everywhere, including downloads.
Savage.
Now, you listened to the ending of that show. Did you hear? There was no maliciousness in him. There was no viciousness. This is the difference between, well, it's why I reacted the way I did. I could tell when someone is challenging me, because that's their job, and between that and a guy who's out to get me. Okay, he's not Jake Tapper, a vicious lowlife. He's not like one of the lowlifes that they replaced him with on CNN. They should have kept him, but because the psychos took over CNN, they got rid of him because he wasn't politically insane enough. But that's not the point. I just wanted you to hear a little inside behind the curtain. I did the show. It's not a big show. It's run on a small network. But it is seen around the world, and I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you understood the politics that were in there. I mean, you heard me attack Bernie Sanders, and he was taken aback by that. I thought that was remarkable. He said, Bernie Sanders is... I said, yeah, of course you know he is. WABC, Joe, New York City. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. One thing I do disagree with him is that he said you should show your sensitivity more often, and you absolutely do. And I'll give you one example. I've been listening to you for years. You talked about your brother Jerome several times, and about 2 weeks ago you talked about him, and to me it was like a prayer. And you asked the question, where do you get this strength to keep going? He's your guardian angel, and it comes across all the time. Your sensitivity, you expose your soul all the time. So obviously Larry King didn't see that, didn't know it, but we see it all the time and we hear it.
Beautiful, man. Thank you. I'm sending you Teddy and Me. Yeah, I don't want to, you know, go into that anymore. I don't want to make people unhappy, and I don't want to go there myself. It's over. It's a long time ago. It was so long ago. It is what it is, but it came out in the book, and that's the end of it. What can you do about it? You want me to go into it? I'll start now. I'm going to do it before I get into the politics. Sometimes when I get in the mood, I actually look at my dog and call him by my brother's name. And dogs, you know, respond to you the way you want. Like I say, are you Jerry? And of course, he'll look at me. Now you think he's saying yes, but you know, it's anthropomorphism. I'm projecting a response from him, I guess. That's how anyone would see that. But I often wonder if there is reincarnation, and we don't really know. Let's say there is. Why is it not possible that a person who was born so crippled and could come back as a healthy animal? You say, well, that's a step down from a crippled human, is it? What would you rather be if at the end of the day, when you're in front of God, and he says to you, look, you have a choice. You can come back as a crippled human being or as a healthy dog. What would you choose? Think about that one. So I don't know. You see, this is the mystery of life. Mystery, mysticism, get it? Mystique, mystery, mysticism, mystique, all connected. It's mysterious.
Do we really know? Does anyone listening to this show really think that they really know what's on the other side? Nobody knows. They can tell you they do. They can do the mumbo jumbo, the hocus pocus. They can pull out the Ouija board. They can rub the ball, whatever. They don't know anything. That's why we're humans. What do we know? Nothing. However smart you are, what does anyone really know what's on the other side? Nobody does. So we have to deal with this, the imponderable, as it were, in our own way. And we all have our own way of coping with the abyss of what is there. What is this all about? I think about it quite often. You know, I have since I'm a child, by the way. There's nothing new. It's not because I'm older. I thought about when I was five, the same thing. What is it all about? Where does it end? What's life? What's death? I mean, we all do it. And I'll bring it right down to politics. Why do I support Trump? Borders, language, culture. Period. End of story. Just as I worry about my survival, I worry about America's survival. Hillary will decimate what's left of this country by further destroying our border patrol, by further bastardizing our language, by introducing more languages into the schools where no one knows anything, that's the Tower of Babel, and by stepping on our culture with her obsession with politically correct insanity. She would be the worst disaster imaginable. Now you understand the politics of it all. You get it? Okay, I'm glad you do. Thank you very much. What would you like to talk about now? We're going to do news, I promise you. We'll think about this in a minute. But many of you are holding to talk about that interview, incidentally. So let me finish up with the callers. KSFO, Eve, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael, your strategy was great. You were polite, and when he asked you a question, you gave the answer, and then there was this silence, and you forced him to ask you another question. And now I know you were hoping he would finally get to the dog. So thank you. You handled it beautifully.
Well, I have a little trick I learned in debates that no one knows. And I think I can give it out on the air, or should I? Because I remember the folk healers in Fiji who would not divulge their folk remedies to local Fijians because they would lose their power, but they gave it to me, a white boy, sitting in a village of all Melanesian people. And I said, why would they give me their knowledge? And someone told me, because you're leaving the village and you can't use it against them, they won't lose their power. So maybe I shouldn't give it up. But I do know in debates there are certain debate tricks. One of them is what you just touched on, Eve. You were very, very clever. And it's simple. If someone asks you a question and you answer it and stop talking. You're not obligated to fill up every all the space of silence. It's not your job. Silence exists, by the way, as a punctuation point and also a launching point. Someone's putting you on the spot and you answer them and you defeated them in that answer. You don't have to now go to the next thing. You sit and count. Take your hand out and under the desk, pull your fingers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guarantee you by 5, the other guy's going to say something. You try it with a guy you know or a woman if you're in a relationship. If you're having a dispute. I'm giving you some debate ideas. Maybe I should go into like a thing, a debate with Michael Savage and charge you 4 cents to learn how to debate. I'm not going to do it. I'm not a guru. I'm not one of these pump up job guys with this and go and pay dollars for this. I don't want to do it. This is all I do. I do radio and I write books. What more do I have to do? More than this? This is my whole life. I'm going to go give seminars now on how to debate. Pick it up on your own. That's all. Thank you, Eve, sending you Teddy and me. We're giving them out today. KBE. Oh, fire away.
Dr. Savage, your heart is the seat of motivation, according to the scriptures, and you express your heart very detailed with your love for animals, because Adam's first job was to name the animals. He was a great scientist that way. And your debate with Larry King was awesome in the scientific standpoint of being brutally honest, but yet a gentleman is a man's man. So I just appreciate your personality. I only wish I could see your facial description on TV.
Joe, I'm going to answer that in a minute. You're getting a copy of Teddy and Me. Coming soon to the Savage Nation, and how soon I don't know, whether it will be in this year or next year, will be a video feed of the show on a different basis. I can't explain it in any more detail than that. You'll be able to watch me as I do the show, and you'll see Teddy if he's still around. I hope he is. And all of the goings-on inside the Savage Studio with my artifacts and the stuff in the background I'll bring in during breaks, whatever. I'm going to do that because I think people want a more 3D view of the Savage show, and I intend to bring that. Most people have it today, or some do, and I intend to bring it to you that way, because if people can not only listen to the show on an iPhone or whatever, they can actually watch me work. I'll be back in a minute to take your calls on politics right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here are some of the topics we're going to cover in the next hour. Why do people dislike Hillary Clinton? And sick New York City now lets you choose from 31 different gender identities. To show you the extent of mental illness, individuals living in NYC can choose from a minimum of 31 different gender identities, many of which allow them to fluctuate between some version or combination of male or female identities. Wait, it gets even better under the corrupt de Blasio, the pay-for-play de Blasio. Businesses that don't respect and accommodate an individual's chosen gender identity risk incurring six-figure fines under rules implemented by the Fascist City's Commission on Human Rights. Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll tell you what the gender identities are, in case you figured out by now that your grandfather and grandmother were not sure of themselves. You know, they didn't know who they were. I mean, grandpa and grandma didn't know whether they were a man or a woman. They could have been a gender bender. Your grandmother could have been a third-sex androgynous. Your grandfather could have really been gender gifted. That old rabbi that you see in the picture? Well, he may have been two-spirit or third sex and not know it. That's why he went into religion. Ask de Blasio. This is the new world that you're living in. But this is what's going on now in the insane America, and I'm here to try and save you from the psychos before it's too late. Because one day, as sure as I'm sitting here, and I'm hanging on that clock's pendulum, this pendulum is moving to the right. And when it hits them, they're not going to know what hit them, and they're going to all slide off that pendulum. They're going to fall right back where they came from. I guarantee it. And I'm Michael Savage. One more hour. Be here even if you're androgynous or pangender. Right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
All right, since we're talking about love, we're going to go to the city of New York, which has hit a new low. You know, we've heard about slippery slopes. They've gone all the way down the slope now on this gender insanity. And they're off the sliding pond. There's nowhere to go since they've hit bottom. So they've now imposed upon people the requirement that they identify people by the person's own sense of their sexual identity. Now, there's no way for you to know what it is. But if for some reason you don't know what the other person's sexual identity is, and you should, God forbid, call them by sir when it should be ma'am, or ma'am if it should be sir, you get sued. This is how sick they are. Now, the reason they're passing laws like this is not for human rights. It's the old racket of the human rights, civil rights game. And that's to keep you from not looking at de Blasio's corruption, the pay for play, etc. Pelosi has used it. Boxer has used it. Feinstein has used it. Obama has used it. All of these monsters use these games to keep us off their backs from the big crimes. So now pay attention. Are you bi-gendered, cross-dresser, drag king? Drag queen, femme queen, female to male, FTM. Are you a gender bender, gender queer, male to female? Are you an MTF? Are you a nun-op? Are you a hijra? Pangender. Transsexual. Transperson. Transperson woman, man, butch, two-spirit, trans, agender. Third sex, gender fluid, non-binary, transgender, androgen. Gender gifted, gender blended, femme person of transgender experience, or androgynous. Now, you understand how insane this is, don't you? And you think it's a joke, but it isn't. When you get a fascistic government passing laws like this, And they say if you don't know what pronouns to use and you use the wrong one, you could be sued by the Commission on Human Rights. They even encourage people in the following way, saying if you believe you have been discriminated against or would like more information about your rights and responsibilities under the law, please contact the New York City Commission on Human Rights by calling 311 or visiting New York City, blah, blah, blah. Bill de Blasio, Mayor, Commission on Human Rights. This is how far it's gone. And they write this. One's internal, deeply held sense of one's gender as male, female, or something else entirely. A transgender person is someone whose gender identity does not match the sex they were assigned at birth. In other words, an assignment. You're born as a boy, you were assigned a boy, in other words. Not that you were actually a boy. Your mother was crazy by giving you a boy's name. They should have waited until you decided what you were. Gender expression. External representation of gender as expressed through, for example, one's name, pronouns, clothing, haircut, behavior, voice, or body characteristics. Society identifies these as masculine and feminine, although what is considered masculine and feminine changes over time and varies by culture. We're learning now, boys and girls. Many transgender people align their gender expression with their gender identity rather than the sex they were assigned at birth. So in a world with so many problems, this is our big problem now, right now, which is the 0.01%, and their confusion is now projected onto the society at large. All right, next case. Expert warns Facebook could be eavesdropping through your phone. Did you know that? Old Marky Zuckermouth? The one that Cornflake went to and kowtowed to? Cornflake was trying to sell his dead site? Facebook could be tapping into not users' phones, interests, and online habits, but also your private conversations, a new report has revealed. Zuckerface admits that it uses your microphone to identify the things you're listening to or watching based on the music and TV matches we're able to identify. But some experts believe that Facebook is not being fully transparent. Once the microphone feature is enabled, Facebook can listen into your private conversation even when one is not actively engaging with the app, meaning they could turn it on. And they listen to certain buzzwords which enable the Facebook fascist site to weave the content that appears on news feeds to suit users' personal interests. For example, in an NBC report, the feature was tested by Kelly Burns, a professor of mass communication at the University of South Florida. In the experiment, she says aloud with her microphone feature on, quote, "I'm really interested in going on an African safari. I think it'd be wonderful to ride in one of those jeeps," close quote. Well, she checked her Facebook news feed 60 seconds later. The first item to appear was a safari story. She then also noticed an advertisement for Jeep vehicles. She said, "I don't think that people realize how much Facebook is tracking every move you're making online. Anything that you're doing on your phone, Facebook is watching," Burns remarked. My friends, you thought that when fascism returned, it would be to the tune of the Horst Wessel song. You thought they'd be marching to a Nazi tune and banging a drum. Little did you know it would be a slime ball in an undershirt who would be the new Fuhrer. This is the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-472-82. Many topics we've not even gotten to. I played the Larry King interview. That provoked a lot of conversation. And John on KSFO has something important to say about that. John, welcome to the program, because what you're saying is absolutely true. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage?
Yes, you're on the radio, John.
Okay, thank you. That was an excellent discussion that you had with Larry King, and I sure hope that Donald Trump's people were paying attention, because that's what Hillary will be attacking him on, is her...
110% right. Everything that Larry King threw at me was what they're going to throw at Donald Trump when he gets down to the actual interviews or debates with Hillary Clinton. That's why he had them written down in front of him. And I think Trump could learn from my reactions, by the way.
Say, and you know, and be prepared for it, because you were pretty much ambushed, and in my opinion, you may not think so, but I thought so.
Well, of course I was. Oh. Of course I was. But I don't hold any animosity towards him. You know, he's got to do what he's got to do for ratings. And I'm a big boy. I didn't have to go on the show. I chose it to go on to talk about my book, Teddy and Me. And I figured if he throws a political question at me or two, I'll handle it. I didn't think it was going to be 20 minutes about Donald Trump, but that's what it became. All right, John, I'm sending you Teddy and Me. Absolutely. The number one question I think that Trump ought to be ready for is this one. All right. Anyone could ask it of him. How come you think you could win when Mitt Romney, a rich white male, ran and got decimated last time by Barack Obama, an unknown candidate? And the answer is because I'm an alpha male and he's a beta male. Any other questions? Period. End of story. Romney may have been a rich white guy, but he was a wimp, a weak guy, and a weakling. No one wants a weakling for the presidency. We want an alpha male. And he was anything but an alpha male. And that's the answer. So there's many things like that. You get it? WEZS in New Hampshire. Al, go ahead. What's on your mind, Al?
Hey, Michael, I hope Facebook isn't listening to you read off those de Blasio terms. I'm going to get some transgender notifications.
You know that's true. Oh, because you're listening to my show on your iPhone, and if Facebook is listening, you're finished.
Toast.
I think I'm going to try it tonight. I'm going to go on my microphone and say, I'm interested in bi-gendered, cross-dresser, drag king, drag queen, MTF, non-op, trans person, two-spirit, trans, non-binary, transgender, gender bender, femme person of transgender experience, androgynous listeners. I wonder what will happen within 60 seconds on my iPhone.
I bet you're...
I'm liable to be selected by Obama to run the Department of Human Services.
There you go. Michael, I really called to tell you, I've been listening since 2000, even before 9/11. And every day I listen online. Actually, I'm in Ohio now. I live in Indiana and listen through New Hampshire. But I just want to tell you, you are absolutely honoring Jerome and your ancestors that have come before you by putting it out every day, by giving your best show. And quite honestly, I don't have a great relationship with my dad, but you know, you've become kind of that father figure to tell me to get off my butt and go do something rather than sit around and feel sorry for myself. And
yeah, I wasn't an easy father. And my children will acknowledge. I was not. I was, you know, from another world. I have one foot in the old world and one foot in the new. I was not Mr. Rogers, let's put it to you that way. I wasn't mean. I wasn't a guy who hit children. But I could be pretty demanding of my children, I'll be very honest with you. And for better or for worse, they both worked out really great. And there's nothing I could do about it. They say in the Chinese culture, and I am not Chinese, what do they call it, a tiger mom? I'm a lion father. That's a good title. Someone will steal it immediately. Right away, a psychologist looking for a book proposal. The Lion Father by Dr. Amy Wright. How provoking your children into excellence through being the male lion, blah, blah, blah. All right, take it and run with it. See if I care. Al, thanks. I'm sending you Teddy and me. Now we're going to go back to some of the topics, by the way. Very big topics. Yesterday I talked about legalizing prostitution, whether you're for or against it. And right now, Vinny on WBOB has a story to tell. Vinny, what's your story? Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I had my own business in New York City for about 10 years, and I had a delivery service, and I had some customers that were on the west side and on the lower west side, like on the 28th, 29th, 30th Street, which was, in the early 80s, that was the mecca of prostitutes. Well, they were all in that section of Manhattan. And there was one woman, her nickname was Tiny, because she was about 4'8", and she had a body that wouldn't quit, and I could never believe that she was a prostitute. And I was addicted to her. I would roam the streets between my jobs, looking for this woman.
And yeah, so what's your point? I'm not following you, Vinny. What is it?
For about 3 years, I was so addicted to prostitution, it really just controlled my life. And I don't think that prostitution is a victimless crime, because it just really took me over. It was like a drug that I was addicted to.
So how did you break the addiction of chasing prostitutes?
Well, I really don't know. One day I stopped doing it. I just went cold turkey. I just decided one day I just had to stop this thing. I mean, listen.
You know, it's interesting, but I've read enough about it, not only prostitution or pornography or alcohol or drugs, that it's up to the person. They're the only ones who can break the addiction. They have to make up their mind, I'm not doing it anymore. Nothing else works. This whole idea of recovery is a theory, and it often doesn't work. That's why people recidivism. There's always recidivism in it. because outside influences generally don't change your behavior. You've got to say, I'm disgusted with myself, and that's the end of it. Isn't that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I did. I just one day I looked at myself in the mirror. I have to stop this. I have to stop this. And I just, I found myself again. I immersed myself in something else.
What was that something else, though, Vinny?
Sports. I started playing sports again. I started playing softball. I started going to ball games, and I just started, created a new.
Interesting. So, in other words, the circuitry that you were involved with the pornography, with the hookers, you took that same circuitry and ran it around the whole sports world.
Everything but betting. I never got into gambling or betting or anything like that.
Vinny, do you have children? Were you married with children at the time of your addiction?
No, I didn't have any children, but I was married.
Did your wife know about your addiction?
No, and she was probably wouldn't have cared because she was one of those women where when we first got married, the sex was wonderful and everything. But then after a while, I don't know, it just kind of like, for lack of a better expression, petered out.
Well, she didn't leave you for another woman, did she?
No.
At least you got a good sense of humor. No, that often happens today. Yeah. You don't know. You can wake up one day, the next thing they're identifying is another sex, and you're gone. You're finished. All right, I'm glad it worked out for you. Are you remarried now? You're dating? What are you doing?
Oh, no, I'm with a very solid woman now, living out in the country in Pennsylvania, and just enjoying my life. I'm just enjoying. I'm playing baseball, so I'm really enjoying that. I'm 60.
That's an amazing story, Vinny, and your bottom line is no legal prostitution. You were addicted. It ruined your life. End of story. Vinny, I'm sending you Teddy and me to talk about more innocent things, and hopefully it's uplifting enough to put our minds out of the gutter. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
Look, as I predicted in my last two best-selling books, nationalism is on the rise. Here's another story. Refugees are removed from Greek camp. They're using buses and bulldozers. It's become a symbol of Europe's closed border policy for migrants and refugees. They don't want them anymore. They're sick of them. But it's tied to Hillary Clinton. She caused this with the Arab Spring. I am the only one who seems to remember that in the entire world media. Here's another story. 100 French police. Are you ready for this one? 100 French police raid Google's Paris headquarters as part of a $1.2 billion tax and money laundering investigation. French cops today searched Google's Paris offices as part of a tax probe. They believe the company owes 1.6 billion euros in back taxes, it is claimed. Google is one of several companies that pays low taxes by shifting revenue. The country's EU base is Ireland, which has low corporate tax rates. It's called a Dutch, triple Irish, God knows what. But they're not the only ones. Google is one of the bigger ones, but Microsoft's involved, Facebook's involved. And the fact of the matter is, if they didn't own Barack Obama by giving him free publicity, in other words, how do you think he got elected? Partly through social networking. They were part of it. What do you think Google was allowed to visit the White House 200 times for, or whatever it was? They were in and out of there more than Al Sharpton was. But in my opinion, they're both in the same category. Eric Schmidt and Al Sharpton are about in the same category as far as I'm concerned. But nevertheless, they go in and out, in and out, in and out, revolving door. And there's no talk about putting their earnings offshore. That's all. Border Patrol locked out of Indian reservation known for Mexican drug trafficking. Really? An Indian reservation along the Mexican border is prohibiting the Border Patrol from entering its land, which is a notorious smuggling corridor determined by the U.S. government to be a high-intensity drug traffic area. Homeland Security sources tell Judicial Watch that the road in this blah, 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 blah. So what are they claiming? Oh, tribal land. All right, right. That's a good one. The tribe Tohono O'odham created the barricade a few weeks ago, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right, all right. It's ethnic, yeah, ethnic parody. All right, right. You can't come in here. Right. It's our ethnic land. Significant center for illegal drug production. You got the whole picture. It's all a racket. It's all a racket, that's all. Top to bottom, a racket. All right, my friends, more to come right here in the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Remember, National Radio Hall of Fame coming up for me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Here's a little more news for you on the Savage Nation. Obama signs a bill banning the government use of the word Negro and Oriental. President Barry Obama signed a bill into law Friday banning the federal government from using the terms Negro and Oriental, making the official terms African American and Asian American. The measure, H.R. 4238, was an amendment to the Local Public Works Capital Development and Investment Act. In other words, if they wanted the grease, in other words, if they wanted the money to fill the potholes, all the graft, you cannot believe what kind of money is going to be in the highway bill. I suggest you watch The Godfather. So in other words, if you wanted the money in your neighborhood to fill potholes and to grease the palms, you had to agree not to use the words Negro and Oriental. That's how they do it. Now, I don't have any comments on this. American Indians will now be referred to as Native Americans. A Spanish-speaking individual of Spanish descent will be referred to as Hispanic. Get your list now. Write it down. Under Obama, you need a new lexicon. I haven't used the word Oriental ever in my entire life, by the way. I always use the word Asian. Now they have to lecture me on how to apply it to an individual. If I was describing a person who I met who was Chinese or Japanese or Korean, I'd say, oh, you know, that fellow, the Asian guy. If I'm talking about a Mexican, I say the Spanish guy, by the way. That's the term I use. I rarely use the term Mexican because it could be a Honduran, it could be an El Salvadoran, it could be a person from Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua. So I say, oh, you know, the Spanish guy, because they speak Spanish. I define them by the language, because it's more easily. You know. Now I need the government to tell me what to refer to people as. I've not used the Negro word. I mean, I'm not making a joke of it. I don't use the word. I've always said African American. What is this necessary for? Why is he doing this? Why? Hello? Last month, Washington State Senator so-called Pramila Jayapal changed something else. Last month, the Library of Congress began revising its official use of terms like illegal alien and alien on its subject headings. After a group of college maniacs, drug addicts and psychotics, and the psychos at the American Library Association, imagine, who's taken over the American Library Association? Everywhere you turn, the nuts have taken over everything. Protested the agency's use of those phrases, illegal alien. Oh, God, it's getting sicker by the day. I hope it changes. Now, if you think I'm going to talk about Juanita Broderick, I'd rather lose my power of speech. If you think that I'm going to go into the gutter and talk about Bill Clinton's peccadilloes at this stage of my career, at this late stage of America's demise, you think I'm going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadilloes, I'd rather lose my power of speech. I'm not going to do it. If that's all you want to do, man, you got a lot of places to go for that one. I'm not doing a flashback to 1996. There are too many problems in this country for me to waste my time on that trash, let me tell you. Now, yesterday we did a great show. I said in this post-legal age, which crimes should be legalized? Should prostitution be legalized? Should drugs be legalized? I'd like to hear one of the damn candidates talk about America and its social problems or our international wreckage of Hillary Clinton instead of what her stupid husband did in 96. Oh, no, but I have to hear Juanita Broderick did this, that one said that, the dress was blue, the dress was purple. If the American people are that stupid, then you don't deserve a president. You deserve a dictator. Yeah, there, I got that out of my system. Now, you want to talk about sex scandals. Cosby is Bill Clinton. NBC labels Bill's sex scandals another low. They are, by the way, another low. NBC labels Bill's sex scandals and another low. It is another low. I said it last week and you attacked me. And I'll say it again. It's disgusting. What happened to the wall? What happened to the trade deficit with China? Suddenly went away. Now we're up to Bill Clinton's peccadilloes again. This is stupid. And if you think I'm inconsistent, you're wrong. I'm very consistent. Because when Bill Clinton was first accused of these crimes, which he obviously committed, I was on the radio. I wouldn't talk about it. I said, I don't care about what he's doing. This is a cover-up for what he's really doing. And now it's another cover-up for what the real Clinton scandals are. Do you get it? The real Clinton scandals are not what Bill did 10 years ago, before the heart attack. The real scandals are what she is doing now. That's what we should be talking about. The Middle East,
the Arab Spring, the email scandals, amongst others. Those are the scandals. So the morons are already hitting me already. The morons think I'm attacking Donald Trump. The people are stupider than I think. Dumb. Again, I said, I'm not going to talk about Bill Clinton's peccadillos from the 90s. Anyone who does is a moron. That's all you can do in radio. You don't belong in radio. You belong in a madhouse. That's what I said. And I'll say it again, and don't think you're going to bend me around to your will and make me follow the lead of the morons and talk radio who are making that the whole show. I will not do it. I'm the one who put Trump on the map, idiots. And the others who are now licking his boots, put him down. You forgot the whole story already? Unbelievable how dumb people are. I'm starting to think people are stupider than I thought. I've overestimated my audience all these years. But you know what? I've always followed the beat of my own drum, so to speak. I'll continue to do it right now through the election. Whether you like it or not is your business. But I have to like what I'm doing, and I have to like what I hear coming out of my mouth. And if you think I'm going to indulge in rolling in the gutter, Juanita Broderick and this one and that one, I'm not doing it. Stupid! The world is burning, and that's all you want to talk about is Bill Clinton. It's stupid, and it's embarrassing. Yes, I support Donald Trump. I have Donald Trump ice cubes. I have a Donald Trump tie. I have a Donald Trump hat. I ordered the Donald Trump belt. I'm looking to get Donald Trump sneakers. I have Donald Trump bobbleheads in every room. I've ordered special bronzes made of Donald Trump to put in it on every counter in my house. Yes, don't worry about it, okay? Now, I want to talk about a number of other things. Your president, I think he's still in Asia. Is he still in Hiroshima, still doing a mock apology? Yeah, well, anyway, just going there, he apologized. First president in history to do this, first president in history to do that. What'd you expect when he was selected by the powers that selected the Pope and selected Mayor de Blasio? You expected some honesty? Now, here's a ripe one. Here's a beautiful one. You know how much I love the homeless. You know how much sympathy I have for the homeless, don't you? Really, tremendous amount of sympathy for them. Cities watch as Portland, Oregon allows homeless to sleep on sidewalks and camp in public spaces. More psycho-liberals. Well, Portland was taken over a long time ago by psychopaths. So now they're going to let homeless bums to set up tents in the streets of Portland, Oregon. They can bunk down on city sidewalks or pitch tents on public rights of way during evening hours with the understanding they can pack up and move out by 7 a.m. As you well know, the homeless people are very organized people. They're very punctual people. They have a way with making sure that they remember things. So you know they're setting their alarm clocks in those tents in the streets after snorting crack all night and laying in their own fecal matter. That alarm clock's going to go off at 6:55. Should pack up their tent and clean up their refuse. Yeah, sure. This is called the degeneration of the United States of America, but they gave it a name. It's called the Safe Sleep Policy, in which individuals or groups can pick secure lighted areas to lay down sleeping bags and tarps in the streets of Portland, Oregon. Wait, it gets even better. Tents are also allowed under Mayor Hale's policies. Okay, my friends, it's getting worse by the second. As Psycho Barry continues his world apology tour, I continue my tour of reality. You know what I want to talk about today? The strange birth of New York City's gun laws. Do you know that? Yeah, I'm going to talk about the gun laws of New York City, because when I was a kid, there was a Sullivan Law. And if you were caught with a gun, you went to prison. Do you know that the Sullivan Law is still on the books? But what you don't know is that Sullivan was a gangster, a crooked Tammany Hall crook, a Tammany Hall crooked politician named Big Tim Sullivan, exactly like Big Tim de Blasio. The same type, in my opinion. Then you had Tammany Hall, today you have de Blasio Hall, an overseer of everything wrong with politics today. But that gangster, Big Tim Sullivan, passed the Sullivan Act, which mandated police-issued licenses for handguns and made it a felony to carry an unlicensed concealed weapon. It was in place when I lived in New York as a kid, where everyone was afraid of that law. And you know if that law is still on the books? What you don't know is that ordinary citizens were disarmed by this gangster, Big Tim Sullivan. You think the Sullivan Law was passed by an honest cop? It was passed by a criminal cop.
gang violence did not drop under the Sullivan Act. It actually took off after the passage of Prohibition in 1920 because the average citizen couldn't protect himself. Good, that topic's finished. Don't call me on it. No gun nuts. I just covered the gun story. And while you're at it, I have been nominated to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, one of four individuals. We're going to have a press release up about that shortly. You're going to be able to vote for me come June 20th simply by texting a certain number. And I hope you spend all of your time with your whole social network voting for me. I'm not one of those people in radio who says, oh, I don't really care. I really don't care if I get that stupid award. I don't really want it. And then when they win it, I'm not even going to the awards ceremony. I don't need it. I'm so great. I don't need any awards. Well, I want the award. So I'm gonna lobby for it since I have no support in the media. I may as well lobby for myself, because if I am not for myself, who will be you? Look, let me go back for a minute, if you don't mind, on the show. A little bit, just a tiny little bit. I'm in a ruthless business. The media is probably the most ruthless business in the world. Everyone hates everyone else. There are no allies. No one has anything good to say about anyone else, whether it's in talk radio or the media. It's sharks feeding against each other. And if you're not careful, they'll tear your fins off. I have navigated the bloody waters for 22 years. I will be here after my enemies are gone, I can guarantee you. Everyone who has stood in my way is gone from radio. Everyone who tried to throw an impediment at me is gone from radio. Everyone who predicted I would be off the air is gone from radio. I promise you, I'm not going to leave you. One way or the other, no matter what they do to me, I will be on the air, because you know what? Somebody up there likes me. All right, you want politics? Here's politics. Harry Reid, you know, Nevada. Harry Reid, you know, the man whose exercise machine attacked him. Harry Reid vows to stop Hillary Clinton from picking certain running mates. In other words, if she picks a running mate who's too whatever, and they lose the Senate, he's going to fight her. He said it. He said, I'll do whatever I can to stop her from choosing a Democratic senator from a state led by a Republican governor. Whatever that means. He's lobbying for somebody. God knows who. So Boss Tweed, Harry Reid, is now trying to dictate to Hillary Clinton who she picks as a running mate. Does that matter to you? No, it doesn't matter to me. But it's the headline on Fox News. I figured you want to hear it for all of you news fanatics out there. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation as we swing into segment 12 of this three-hour marathon. 12 segments. That's four an hour when you think about it, how I do a radio show. 3 hours a day, so I say it's 12 segments. There's four an hour. The last one is the 12th segment. So this is the 12th round of a 12-round fight. If you've been with me from round one, we've taken you on quite a ride today on the program, and you can still call in. We got a couple of 4 minutes left. I forget the number already, 855-400-SAVAGE, but I doubt very much that you're going to be able to call in time. Let's take some calls and then some summary of news stories I haven't touched on yet. Rosemary on KSFO, what's on your mind, Rosemary?
Great interview with Larry King. It's not his questions that the Dems were after, it was your answers. You have a close tie with the policy issues with Trump, and they're going to build on your answers.
So you think that I was set up by Larry King to get my answer so they know how to attack Trump?
Exactly.
What makes you think that?
I'm an oldster, and I've been listening for years, you know, to politics, and you're my number one. And I think you generate a lot of news and opinions.
Well, but you notice that no one covered the Larry King, Michael Savage interview. They're not talking about me in the news. In fact, the failed website Politico wrote a long story today about radio, and they failed to mention that of all the talk show hosts, I'm the only one the New York Times featured during the rise of Donald Trump. They left that one out of it, the geniuses at Politico.
You credit.
So I'm not covered at all. I mean, the fact is no one listens to me but my listeners, Rosemary. The media certainly doesn't. I'm sending you Teddy and me. Let's move on. Line 6, SBA Radio. Brian, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Brian?
Thought I'd get a comment from you about the recent Austrian election where the anti-immigrant Freedom Party candidate had a meteoric rise in
popularity. I know. It's very sad that they lost by so few votes, and it was given to a man, a college Marxist, who said that Austria itself as a concept is the S word. He called his own nation the S word. That's who the people of Austria elected over a nationalist. Can you believe it? And it was a squeaker. A squeaker, but look who they picked, someone who hates his own country. Does it sound like he's the Austrian equivalent of Obama?
Absolutely. Someone who hates his country.
Right. So ask yourself why people are picking people who hate their own country to run the countries. Ask yourself that.
It's like blinders, Dr. Savage. Blinders. I can't. It's a mental illness. Or blinders. I can't.
If we can survive Obama, if we can squeak through what's left of his situation, and if Europe can survive the onslaught of African and Muslim refugees through another election, and it's a big if they can do it, there will be a right-wing reaction like no one can believe in this world. And there will be, you know what, to pay. The left will pay a price you can never imagine. They have gotten so used to getting away with crimes against their own nation. They've gotten so used to raping the treasury under the guise of human rights and immigrant rights, they're not expecting what's coming. And what will happen is they will be imprisoned for their crimes when they are found guilty. Because make no mistake about it, this is not about loving refugees. This is not about compassion for immigrants. This is about robbing the treasury using liberalism or Marxism as a tool. And I'll have a lot more to say about it tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow right here on the Savage Nation. Meanwhile, go to michaelsavage.com, the home of the Savage Nation. Check out a copy of Teddy and Me. Sign up for a free newsletter. Buy a pair of Savage shoes. We got the Savage hair lotion. We got the Savage floor mat. We got the Savage statues. We got the Savage bobbleheads. We got the Savage buttons. No, we don't have any of that on the Savage Nation, but there are others who do. I don't. I have nothing to sell you except me and my ideas. Thank you for listening. God bless America. Back tomorrow.